One of you had a great week. You had a good week. Amen. I had a good week, a busy week actually, and an opportunity to begin to visit some of us. And it's been a blessing, you know, to just meet with people and to just pray together and, you know, to be in the presence of the Lord and to enjoy what the Lord has been doing even in the lives of people. There's one thing that the Lord has come to make me know that sometimes, you know, we meet here in the church and it's very easy for us to smile at one another and to think that everything is okay and everything is just going well. If it's going well in your life, thank God. Amen. If things are going good in your life, be thankful to the Lord, because it doesn't always happen to every family. Amen. And it is so easy, I realize, even for us as brothers and sisters, sometimes to be judgmental over, you know, when you see people and you sometimes you don't see them and you don't know even where they are. And sometimes, you know, we can be judgmental to say, oh, they went and, you know, they're doing their own things. But sometimes I say to you, people are going through very difficult situations. Amen. And so as many as the Lord will put into your heart, the members of the family of God, I think it is very important for us to be praying for one another. Amen. I'm telling God to raise me into another level, because, you know, as a pastor, you know, you receive the heat every single time, you know, whether things are going wrong, whether things are going okay, whether people are going through difficult times, you know, it affects you as a pastor, you know, and sometimes it can really put a lot of pressure, because if you're really called of God, you know, you have that empathy, you empathize with what people are going through, and it really can be tough. And so I'm just making a call that whenever you need a closet, please, if you have a list that you pray for every day, add as many people in the church. Pray for their families. Pray for their children. Pray for their financial breakthrough. Pray for things that they're going through. Pray for their jobs. Pray for whatever the Lord, the Holy Spirit leads you to pray for. Please, I pray and I beg you, pray. Pray. Shall we do that? Shall we pledge to do that? Okay. May the Lord bless you even as we do that. I really had a hard time, you know, I prepared the whole week to come and speak about a financial breakthrough in a believer. But yesterday, as I came to the conclusion of preparing my text and everything and doing the research, I felt the presence of the Lord just speaking and kind of overwhelming into my spirit to speak about a different thing. And I couldn't help. I woke up very early in the morning and I felt the Spirit of God just overwhelming me to speak about the power of redemption. Amen? The power of redemption. And I couldn't understand. And I was telling the Lord, please, you have to minister to me first before I can go to minister this text to the people. And when I was thinking about what I would bring, I felt the Spirit of the Lord leading me to the book of Judges, chapter number 6. I know most of you, this is a very familiar text, but we are going to get a few nuggets from the book of Judges. It is a text that we all love. We can pick a few things from the book of Judges. And I don't know why the Spirit of the Lord just, you know, doesn't normally happen so often, but I felt like the Lord wanted me to speak about Gideon, the man that we all know. We've heard about what happened to Gideon. Gideon is also mentioned in the book of Hebrews as a man who depicted faith in the book of Hebrews chapter number 11. For those of you who are familiar with the text, the Bible talks about faith and defines what faith is. It speaks about faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And it illuminates, talks about men who depicted faith, talks about Abraham, talks about Enoch, and talks about also about Gideon, how he was not a man of significance. But how many of you know that God every time wants to show his strength through weakness? Amen? And sometimes, you know, as we grow up, you know, whether you know or you don't know, there's a tendency to think that the people who can do mighty things are people who are strong, people who have macho, people who have the knowledge, people who have the wisdom, people who are well-connected, people who are well-to-do, people who are very influential, people who live in a well-to-do neighborhood. You know, you have this natural tendency to think that if things are to be done, they can only be done by people who are well-to-do. But in God, it is right the opposite. Praise be to God. You know, the Bible tells us in the book of Ecclesiastes that the race is not for the strong, neither the good things even for the people that you think that are set for those things. It is not for the wise, you know. But opportunity has been unveiled to every single one of us. So you might be a weakling, you might be a weak person, you might have come from a poor background, you might have come from a not well-to-do background, and you may have looked upon yourself and you may have dismissed, you know, yourself into thinking that you didn't amount to much, or you may have dismissed yourself that you could not accomplish any task in life, and that maybe has caused you to dwindle, and it has caused you maybe to stagnate in one area just because of either things that were said upon you or where you came from. But this morning, I have some good news for you, that God specializes in using people like those. Amen. Weak people. Praise be to God. God specializes in using people who feel like they don't amount to much. God specializes in using people who are ignoble. Praise be to the Lord. God specializes in using things that are foolishness in as far as the world is concerned, so that his power might be depicted as mighty. Amen. Praise be to God. It is so amazing that the Bible says that the preaching of the gospel is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who have received it, who have received the Lord, it is power. Praise be to God. And God uses the foolishness or the foolish things of this world, or the things that this world thinks as foolishness, to glorify himself. Now, I would like you to know that at the end of the day, what God intends to accomplish in our lives is that he may receive glory from your life. Amen? Does God receive glory in your life? Does what you do for a living, does he receive glory? Does he receive glory in how you live? Does he receive glory in how you talk to other people? When people look at you, and the Bible calls us epistles, does God receive glory? At the end of the day, God wants to receive glory from our lives. Amen? I believe that's the main reason why God created you and me, that we may give him glory. Amen? When we worship him, when we praise him, we are giving glory to the Lord. Praise be to God. And the story about Judges is a story that I identify with. I don't know about you, but I identify with. For nobody in this place, in this house today, doesn't at any or haven't at any one time gone through some kind of a trial or some kind of a quagmire which caused you to wonder, is God still alive? Amen? If we are to evaluate, or if you are to speak out your life, at any one given time in your life, you may have been stuck up in a place whereby you wondered, God, where are you? Or you felt like God had deserted you. You felt like, you know, your friends had deserted you, and then you felt like, why are all these things coming against me? It is so natural for us to tend to think that when bad things happen to us, because bad things normally happens to everybody anyways, there's a tendency to think that God has deserted you or he has separated yourself from him. But in reality, God has never and never ever, the Bible says that nothing shall separate us from the love of God. Praise be to God. Now, in this instance, we are talking about the children of Israel. And I'll read just the first few verses. We'll be jumping over a few verses even as we proceed. The Bible says this, Judges chapter number 6, verses number 1. Then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Midian for 7 years. Somebody say 7 years. And the hand of the Midian prevailed against Israel. And because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made for themselves dens and caves and the strongholds which are in the mountains. So it was, Whenever Israel had sown, or rather cultivated their land, the Midianites would come up, also the Amalekites, and the people of the east would come up against them. Then they would encamp against them and destroy the produce of earth as far as Gaza and leave no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep, nor ox, nor donkey. Now, this is a story that we read about the children of Israel doing evil in the sight of the Lord. It is amazing how we can go through stuff, and some of the stuff that we may go through might be difficult and not really understand why certain things happen. But for any person who is wise, we long to understand why certain things happen in our lives. For example, you might be going to school and suddenly things are not working against you. I mean, things are working against you. You can't even get the school fees. And everything that you attempt in life, it seems to be like a hurdle, you know? And whereas there are other people who might be in the same school with you and they're going and it looks like they have an amplitude to understand things. It looks like everything is going their way. And at the end of the day, you know, as a human being, you're able to draw a conclusion and you're able to wonder what really is going on in my life. For your information, nothing happens under the sun without a reason. Praise the Lord. Anything that happens in our lives happens with a reason. Amen? It could be either God wants to prosper us. It could be either God wants to teach us some things along the way as he intends to promote us to another level. Is like it is like God will take us through some situations that he wants to refine us and to prepare us for a blessing that is in the future. Or it could be also the devil being involved in your life. Anything that doesn't just happen for a reason. Praise the Lord. You know the thing that is happening in your life right now? There is a reason why it is happening. Praise God. Whether we like it, things don't just happen. Things don't just happen. You know, they don't just pop up and, you know, you find yourself just, you know, things going good for you and you're enjoying the favor and you seem to have this favor with people. It happens because of a reason. And it could be maybe you've drawn to the Lord and the Lord is drawing to you and he's causing the increase in your life. And it could be also that when things are tough, it could be there's a loophole where the enemy has found in your life and is beginning to eat up from under you and he's destroying you. Everything under the sun happens for a reason. And in this case, the Bible says that the children of Israel were sowing seed and every year after year. And when I thought about the period of time that they had to do this over and over and over again, I said, I identify with this, you know, because the Bible says for 7 years, they would go when it was time to, you know, to sow seeds, they would go sow seeds and the crop would come up. And when the harvest was just about ready, or when the season was, you know, the time when the crops were growing, the Midianites would come and the Amalekites, and they would come with their herds, and they would get into the plantations, they would get into the gardens, and they would kind of cause a havoc into the plantations of the children of Israel. And this happened over and over and over again. Now, there was also fear that was inflicted in the children of Israel. The Bible says that instead of dwelling where they were supposed to dwell, they prepared dens and caves. They were living in the mountains. Why were they living in the mountains? They were living in the mountains because of the fear of the Midianites and as well as the Amalekites. Praise be to God. It's amazing how sometimes we can go through certain things over and over and over and over again. And we know that that thing is happening. And sometimes we are trying to find for a solution. And sometimes we are trying to wonder why are all this coming into our lives. But I want to thank God because the children of Israel, per Gideon, were aware what was happening. What was happening. In fact, when the angel of the Lord came to Gideon, and he was delivering the message that thou man of valor, you know, he found him threshing wheat. And he was actually hidden from the sight of the Midianites. And he comes and calls him, hey, thou man of valor. And he says, the Lord wants to use your might in destroying the Midianites. This is exactly what Gideon said. Gideon said, how can you say that the Lord is going to help us while the Midianites have overwhelmed us and they have destroyed our fields? But just before that happened, the Bible says in verse number 6 of the book of Judges chapter number 6, verse number 6. This is what the Bible says. So Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Somebody say a big amen. Amen. Something happens every single time we call upon the name of the Lord. The Bible says that those who call upon the name of the Lord shall do what? Those who call upon the name of the Lord shall do what? In other words, when they called upon the name of the Lord, it is said a cataclysmic or just a dynamo effect that started to take to occur. Immediately they called upon the name of the Lord. And because those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. When they called upon the name of the Lord, he responded. God was aware of what was happening. As a matter of fact, he's the one who set up the Midianites and the Amalekites against. He set them against the children of Israel because of what they had done before the Lord. Now the Bible says that he delivered them from Egypt, and he performed miraculous things along the way, and he drove the Canaanites out of their out of their land, so that the children of Israel would inhabit the land, right? And so when they come here, he told them that when you get into that region, make sure that you do not befriend yourself or adore the gods of the inhabitants of the place where I'm taking you. And let me tell you, when they got there, the Bible says that they started erecting a worshiping Baal and erecting poles of Asherah, which were goddesses and gods of the Midianites and the Amalekites. And God was grieved for this. Praise the Lord. He was grieved because he had by his power, he had delivered them out of the nation of Egypt. And he had taken them to the promised land. And he had performed great miracles. And he walked with them. And he gave them food. And he provided for them. But when he went there, he told them, do not worship the gods of the Midianites. Do not worship the gods of the Amalekites. And this is what grieved God. Now, within the 7 years they were doing this, God was consciously aware of what was happening. Amen? But it changes in verse number 6 when it says that after 7 years of what was happening, after the Midianites would come year after year and plowed on the plantations of the Israel. In other words, their labor was going to drain. In other words, their life was being wasted. In other words, they didn't seem to move. They didn't seem to proceed. In other words, they had stagnated. In other words, they would kind of not even realize what was happening, because even after the Midianites would come and invade their plantations, the next year they would still do the same, as if there was something that was happening in their lives, but they really felt like God had separated himself from them. But until they realize that something is amiss in what we are doing. Amen. They realize something was not happening. Something needs to be done. A change needs to occur in this area. A change needs to occur in this circumstance. I don't believe this is normal that we can sow land. We are people who are identified with the name of the Most High God. I don't think this is normal that we can every single year go into our plantations and seeds and sow seeds, and we can see rains coming. But just before harvest, just before they received the production of what they had laid their lives to for the sake of their livelihood, everything is attacked and everything is devastated. And in verse number 6, they decided to do something different. Child of God, let me tell you, I identify myself completely with the children of Israel. Sometimes we are going through motions and we are going through stuff in life that we do not understand why things are happening in our life. But I'm telling you the truth, that the moment they called, the children of Israel cried out unto Jehovah, he heard, praise be to God. That is the confidence that I have this morning, that when I call upon the name of God, he hears me. Praise Jesus. This is the confidence that we ought to have, that in spite of the things that we are going through, in spite of the things that we have carried, baggages that we have carried for a long time, when God inspires us to and opens up our eyes to see what is happening, when we call upon his name, he hears. It doesn't matter who is surrounding you. It doesn't matter who is invading your crop. It doesn't matter whether the devil has invaded. It doesn't matter whether you messed up and the devil found an opportunity. Them that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Glory be to Jesus. And immediately when they called upon the name of the Lord sent out a prophet to let them know exactly what was happening. And he explained to them exactly what was happening. And as soon as they were aware, let me tell you, church, there's sometimes when we go through some stuff, and even though things are happening, we don't know even the root cause of why those things are happening. But it takes a man of God, it takes a cry out of Zion, even to speak and to tell us why it is happening. The moment we know why it is happening, then we can take a step. Glory be to Jesus. Things don't just happen. And so the prophet came and he spoke and told them exactly what was happening and why these things were happening, why they were being invaded from every corner. Church, listen. It's very easy to complain and to think that God has deserted you. It's very easy to complain when everybody seems to be getting on well. Their families are getting on well. But let me tell you, I'm changing a lot of that perspective today. That even when somebody smiles at me, I need to spend time with them, because I've realized that behind that smile, there might be agony and there might be crying in the middle of the night, that people are going through tough times that people may not really understand. Praise be to God. And I say that God help me, so that even when I come into any situations, that God, I'm going to carry the voice of God and I'm going to call upon the name of the Lord on behalf of those people. And when I call upon the name of the Lord, I have this confidence that there's going to be a dynamo effect that will begin to catapult towards those people. A change that will begin to flow towards those people, because the name of the Lord has been called upon. Glory be to Jesus. Oh, they that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so, immediately after the prophet comes and tells them about this, suddenly an angel shows up to this man who is Gideon. You know about the story of Gideon. I don't want to narrate it to you, because you already know. Gideon was he came from the tribe of Manasseh, and he was the least in their family. Let me tell you, when God wants to bring a change in your life, do not look down upon yourself. For God can even use a little child in your home to bring a change and a transformation into your family. Do not look at what happened when sometimes, you know, the Bible says that the Bible tells us that God tells us that he does not look on the outward appearance, but he looks at the heart. What happened to Samuel when he went to anoint the king that God had anointed for the time, and he went to the sons of Jesse? What, you remember what happened? He went to Eliab, and Eliab was going to the gym at the time, and he had muscles, and he looked like he had it together. And when someone looks at Eliab, he says, oh, behold, the anointed of God. And he was about to anoint him when God told him, hey, not so fast. And he connected with God, and it was until God, he connected with God, and he called all the sons of who? Jesse. And he told them, he looked at one by one, he goes one after the other, one after the other, one after the other. And he said, there seemed to be somebody missing here. See, Jesse have the same mentality that we have. That, you know, it is only the macho. It is only the wise. It is only the well together that can make it. When Jesse said, oh, yeah, I have my last one. Who is that? I don't think that one. Actually, that one is a shepherd. He's the one that we said to do the insignificant things. You know, the way we have at home, there are people, there are children that you send them, there are children you don't mind when you send them to do certain chores because, you know, they don't mind, you know. Oh, there are some people, you know, you find, if you find somebody cleaning up the church, you say, oh, I think they fit the description. Well, there are some people, if you find them cleaning the church, you say, hiya, what is happening? And so, David is called upon, and he's coming home just with his shepherd stick, and he's coming, I can imagine, maybe he had a little, you know, like a young, just a little boy shepherd. And he comes and stands before Prophet Samuel, and when the moment Prophet the servant of God, Samuel, laid his eyes on David, he said, this is the one. To the amazement, I believe, of his brothers and Jesse. Maybe Jesse said, no, you might be mistaken. David? No, Eliab should be the one. I'm going to tell you, God is in the business of choosing people who feel like they don't have it together. Are you like me? Sometimes I don't feel like I have it together. I feel like I've made many commitments and I fail those commitments. And I feel, oh God, may you help me. I need you more than ever before, Lord. I need you in this area of my life. And I feel like I've failed you, Lord. May you please help me. Those that call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. What are you going through, church, today? What are you going through in your family? What are the things that you do not even wouldn't even dare to release, so that because if anybody knows about what is happening in your family, it will bring a shame to your family. Let me tell you, the Bible says that that everything lays bare before the Lord. So when you call on him concerning that issue, he doesn't need to learn anything new concerning it. He knows what needs to be done in that issue. For those that call upon his name, he shall save them. Glory be to God. And he comes to Gideon. Gideon didn't have, he was a man like me. He didn't have it all together. The angel told him, you mighty man of valor. First of all, the statement that came from the angel contradicted everything. How can you call me a mighty man of valor? In fact, you know the way that sometimes that somebody points at you and you're looking behind, maybe he's talking about maybe somebody behind there. You know? Like I'm saying, you mighty man of valor, and you're looking at Julius. Because you don't believe that you can be a mighty man of valor, Pastor. Have you ever seen situations like that? Or God has elevated you to a position whereby he wants you to perform a certain duty, and you feel that you don't qualify, or you don't have what it takes to rise up to that position. You know what? Moses was there. Amen. I love God for what he puts on the Bible. You know when God called Moses? What is the first thing that he said? A man of slow on speech. You know, I stammer. I could not even talk to God. God. That, if you're like that, you are the one. You're the candidate. Sometimes you don't have to have it all together. And he says, my family, I come from Manasseh, and you know Manasseh, we are the poorest of all the clan, and I'm the least of the family. How can you say that I'm a mighty man of valor? And Gideon says, okay, if you say so, then I'll put a fleece in. Lord, I want to test you, because let me tell you, sometimes we want to beat up on Gideon, but sometimes I feel like that too. I want to tell God, if you said I'm going to do this, make sure that I'll put this wool here, and when you soak it with the dew and the rest of the area is dry. I know some of us have done it. I've done it too. It may not really be a wool, but you did it, and you tell God, show me a sign. But let us not be the generation, because Jesus also said, this generation looks for a sign. Amen? This generation wants a sign in order to perform the works of the Lord. But sometimes I want to be like Gideon. And he said, God was faithful, and he causes the piece of wool to be drenched with water, so that the Bible says that when he squeezed it, can you imagine that dew? I believe maybe God rained on that thing, maybe brought a pipe from heaven and drenched it, because when he squeezed it, the water filled a bowl, you know, bakuli. No dew can really fill a bakuli if it's just regular dew. But it filled a bakuli and everything else was dry. He told God, God, I hope you're not angry with me. Can you do the opposite? Let me tell you, God is so merciful. It all started when they called upon the name of the Lord. God says, I want to deal with this now. They have called me. They have recognized my power. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what I'm going to go through. Whether Gideon is giving me a hard time right now. He's a man who doesn't really have a, he has a little belief, but I'm going to still prove to him that I'm able and that I can put my power in him and that he can destroy the Midianites. Oh, Jesus. Him who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let me tell you, church, it doesn't matter what you're going through. Whatever it is in your family, it might be in your children, it might be even in your career. Oh, all we need to do, church, I admonish us. Let us call upon the name of the Lord. Because the moment you do so, from the bottom of your heart, when you kneel down and call upon the name of the Lord, things will begin the motion. The motion will begin right there and then. He hears you. And he is going to use anybody. He can even use your enemies to accomplish your purpose. Are you listening to me? He will even use somebody who is poor. He might even use a homeless man as long as he is well lined up to fulfill the purpose for which you called him for. Oh my God. And so Gideon, eventually God says, I will help you. And I want to use you to destroy these Midianites. And God gives him favor. I want you to imagine this guy. He was in a solitary place. And suddenly, the power of God fills him. And he becomes a general to be. Are you listening to me? What that tells me, that it doesn't matter what you're going through. It doesn't matter whatever situation that is encompasses you. It doesn't matter who is against you. And it doesn't matter your background either. Because when I call upon the name of the Lord and he puts his strength upon me, I will become a general. That is what Gideon became. From a very low position where he was actually so much afraid that he was threshing the wheat in the without so that he would not even be seen by the Midianites, trying to make a little living. He was from a poor family. Can you see him? Can you see Gideon? I want you to see him. You know, trying to hide, and even when he's talking to an angel, he's looking at a you know, can you say what you're trying to say? And he's looking over his shoulders to see whether they are coming. And when God's power puts in him, man, he goes and summons everybody in the whole clan, and he tells, I need this amount of people. I need this amount of army. Everybody, the Lord has spoken to me. It is time that we come against these Midianites who have really prevailed against us for 7 years. Let me tell you, he got an army. Now, the Bible says that the whole people who came together, there were 32,000. Somebody say 32. Yeah, you are so quiet. Say 32,000. That is quite a number, right? That's quite a number. For somebody, I'm sure maybe they knew about Josh, you know? They knew maybe about Josh, this guy, his daddy. And they knew about, do you think it's very easy for somebody who has been brought up in Korogosho, and he's been eating from the dustbins trying to chaka, and then he comes, you know, he's, you know, the way he comes from his life, and he's telling me, I need 30,000 people. I said, well, who are you? Huh? Katanoka Josh, you've been thrashing, where, what are you? Do not let anybody look down on you. Because you know what? You are not going by your power. You are going by the power of the Almighty God. When the power of the Almighty God is in you, it doesn't matter what you ever did, because God will give you favor. God will give you the encouragement. God will give you the kibali. Hallelujah. Jesus. And so the Bible says that 32,000 was just a sixth of what the army of the Midianites were. In other words, the Midianites army were 196,000. 196,000 men of war. Those were the army of the Midianites. And God looks at the 32,000 and says, this is too large. You know, I cannot. I want you, Mr. Gideon, to know that I'm the one on the show now. Let me tell you, when you're in a situation, God wants to be in the show. Somebody say, I want God to be on my show. You know when you watch the opera, who do you think people think when you talk about opera? When you talk about opera show, what do you think comes into your mind? Who is the head of that show? Opera, right? When you talk of Dr. What is the name of this doctor? Dr. Phil. Yes, Dr. Phil. Who do you think you're talking about? Dr. Phil, right? Now, when God wants to, he's talking about this is my show. When he came to Nebuchadnezzar one time, to Jehoshaphat, and he was being surrounded by a mighty army, and Jehoshaphat sought to seek God. See, every time when they called upon God, there was a reaction. Jehoshaphat called upon God, and God came down and told me, this battle that is before you, it shall not be your battle. Stand still and see my salvation. Amen? Stand still and see my salvation. And that's exactly what happened to Gideon. God told him, these guys are too, they are too many. I'd like you to make an announcement. Anybody who is angry, somebody who is afraid, full of fear, and used to be actually a law, in the olden times, before they would go to battle, it was supposed to be declared by the commander, just in case they went with people who are fearful and they would lose their lives and also, grieve their families. And so he made a declaration and he said that I'm making a declaration right now that anybody who is fearful should bail out. And you know how many people bailed out? How many people? 22,000 bailed out. Now, what do you think? Sometimes, let me tell you, guys, it's good sometimes to see it like, have it like a cinematic, Think of what Gideon felt at the moment. He is saying, I feel like when he saw the 32,000, he said, I think I've come out now. I'm living in Runda, I'm living now in, what is this Highland Park now? I call 32,000 and they come. I think I'm in Highland Park. But when he saw the 22,000, he's thinking now, I think I need to go to Korogosho again. 22,000 have gone. But that's what God told him. I cannot work with a large number, 22,000. And still, God wanted the number reduced. He put Gideon into a test. Eventually, the number that Gideon was supposed to work with was 300 people against 196,000 people. See, when God wants to deliver you, he wants even your enemy to know that that was the God of Gideon. Amen? I know later they would probably learn what could have happened. And when they would hear of the report that only 300 people came to fight us, they would even say 196,000 people against 300 people. Do the math. That is illogical, naturally, right? But that's what God needed. He divided even the teams into three. He told them, you go into this side, you go into that side, and you go, we shall remain here with 100. And he told them, carry a trumpet. And he told them, carry in one hand a lamp. And he instructed them, there will be a sign, and just make a loud shout of the trumpet. And let me tell you, it was early in the morning. And the Bible says that when they made this trumpet call, there was confusion into the whole camp. People started killing. The Midianites started killing each other. They started even running away. Why was this happening? Because they invoked the name of God. God wanted to prove that, you know what? I can do it. If you're not available, I can do it by myself. Amen. Hallelujah. Sometimes, let me tell you, church, you don't even have to call the pastor. When your child is sick, kneel down with that child. Call upon the name of the Lord. The same God that I can call, you can call. Hallelujah. If you have an issue in your life, just call upon the name of the Lord, because he says, they that call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. Glory be to Jesus. Them that call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. What things has the devil stolen from your life? What has he stolen from your family? What has he stolen from your children? You look at the lives of your children and you see, I think there's something amiss. Something should have happened here in this year or in that year. You look at your life, you said, I should be at this place right now. Maybe I should have bought this kind of a house. Maybe I should have bought this kind of a car. Maybe I should be out of debt by now. Maybe I should be this certain area. My wife should not be complaining about this thing by now. My husband should not be calling me this name by now. Maybe they are doing this thing right now. Huh? God says that I can restore back whatever the enemy has stolen. Amen? Open up your Bibles in the book of Joel, chapter number 2, and we're going to close. Joel, chapter number 2, verse 12 to 13. God wants to restore. Praise be to God. Amen. This is what the Bible says in Joel chapter number 2, verse number 12, 13. I'll read a couple of verses there. Now therefore, says the Lord, turn to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. With fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. So rend your heart and not your garments. Are you listening to me? Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and he relents from doing harm. Verse number 15, blow the trumpet in Zion, consecrate a fast, call a sacred assembly, gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children and nursing babies, let the bridegroom go out from his chamber, and let the priests who minister to the Lord weep between the porch and the altar. Let them say, spare your people, O Lord, and do not give your heritage to reproach, that the nation should rule over them. Why should they say among the peoples, where is their God? Verse number 19. The Lord will answer and say to his people, behold, I will send you grain in the new wine and oil, and you will be satisfied by them. I will no longer make you a reproach among the nations. But I will remove far from you the northern army and will drive him away into a barren and desolate land with his face towards the eastern sea and his back toward the western sea. His stench will come up and his foul odor will rise because he has done monstrous things. Fear not, O land. This is the message I feel the Lord is speaking to us, church. Fear not, O land. Be glad and rejoice, for the Lord has done marvelous things. Do not be afraid, you beast of the field, for the open pastures are springing up, and the tree bears its fruit. The fig tree and the vine yields their strength. Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the former rain faithfully, and he will cause the rain to come down for you, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. The threshing floors shall be full of wheat, and the vats shall overflow with new wine and oil. Verse number 25. So I will restore to you the ears that the swarming locusts have eaten, the clawing locust, the consuming locust, and the chewing locust. My great army, which I send among you, you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dwelt wondrously with you. Amen? This happens when you call upon the name of the Lord. This shall be your heritage. Let me tell you, church, I'm not going to stay here mourn over the things that I've not been able to accomplish. Sometimes back, you know, I was looking down into my ears and my wife was telling me, okay, I know what you're thinking. You know, you're thinking that now you are almost taking a curve, you know, the way you get to a place in life where you are curving and you look back into your life and you're saying, wow, what have I accomplished? You know, I'm approaching that age whereby people begin to say that, oh, I have this and I have the other and I have the other. And you know what? The Lord is encouraging. If there's anybody who feels like that, you know, that, you know, I've not been able to do this, I've not been able to do the other, I've not been able to accomplish this, the Bible says that God is able to restore our ears. Amen? God is able to restore our ears. what the swamping locusts, what the clawing locusts have eaten, what the kind of whatever locusts that have been sent into our plantations, whatever they have eaten, God says, I'm able to restore. Think about that. Huh? That God is able to restore every ear that has been stolen by the devil. Are you listening to me or am I preaching to myself? Huh? Jesse, every ear that has been stolen from by the devil, the Lord is able to restore back to you. He is able. How he does it, I don't know. He can make you younger. He can make you go faster like an eagle. I mean, people can be looking and you're probably 60 years old, but they are looking, oh, what is happening? What are you doing? You look like you are 20. He can make you younger. If you're thinking like an oldie, he can make you think like a youngie. So that you're doing your things faster. Ah, yeah, it happens. By the way, God can refresh your mentality, even the way you see things. You know, there's an age where it gets now, you say, now maybe I'm probably... Maybe I've really taken a really corner. I've taken a corner, so I don't want to involve myself in so many things. In fact, you're starting to prepare money for your barrio. You know, especially people here in America. I talked to one man and he was telling me, you know, Pastor, you know, I think, you know, life is really almost done. I'm actually putting together my money for barrio. I said, I've never even thought about that. So listen, God can, if you have that oldie mentality, it's good. By the way, it's good to prepare yourself so that you don't have insurance and everything. We'll be talking about this, you know, life insurance so that you don't bring problems if you are gone. You know, you leave a lot of burden to other people. It's good to have life insurance. I'm not saying that you don't have it. But you're not going to dwell on, oh, now, you know, it's like you're counting down. Today is day 192, 193 is because you're coming down. No. God can change your mentality so that you can think like a young person, that you can be energetic, that you can strategize and, you know, go for the things that God is putting in your heart. Amen? I told somebody the other day, age is a number. You know? Age is a number. Let me tell you, you can be 60, but you are reasoning so sharply, even more than a 30-year-old. And actually, that is the prime age where, you know, you begin now to... To think, you know, you are talking. Have you ever seen people who are saying a story? They told you a story and they are repeating it over again. If you're like that, you better start watching out and eat some carrots. Oh, you know, Pastor, you know, and I'm like, I think you've told me this story now 3 times, but I'll listen. You know, I'll not just put you off because, you know. But God can revolutionize us. Amen? He will restore the ears that the cankerworms have stolen. Amen? And then we shall age gracefully. We shall age gracefully. Amen. And I repeat, we shall age gracefully. Amen. You shall age gracefully. Amen. Amen. Can you claim it? Even when you are old, you still have memory. Good memory. Man, I talked to Mama Elizabeth. And you know what? She is right now over 70 years. But she talks very sober. She has a good memory. She is smart. The way she talks, she is well coordinated. She is aging gracefully. Amen? I believe God is restoring every ear that the cankerworms and any locusts have eaten. Let me tell you, I'm not going to stay here and mourn over, oh, now I'm growing now. I'm going to this number of years now. I don't even have anything. Actually, I'm so much in debt and I don't know whether to start at that job. You know? Don't dwell on those things. It's very easy to dwell on those things, isn't it? Dwell on things that, you know what, God, you have said in your heart, that you will cause me to recover. Show me how I need to recover. 3 years have been stolen. I've been going round and around, Lord. Lord, it's time for me, this muviringo, to stop. Cause me to recover this 7. Let me tell you, I am telling you as the Lord lives. God can give you an idea. And one single idea, small as it like this. Man, the thing that you are supposed to do like maybe 3 years ago, you have done and overtaken so many people. Because he is involved in your life. Huh? It could maybe a college degree. It could maybe a connection of business. It could maybe a connection with somebody you never even thought that you could do some kind of a venture. And you can do it. You can do it. You can do it, man. You can do it. And you can recover every year in the name of Jesus, including our family, including our children, If they have wasted their years, we can claim those years for them. Stand up on your feet in the name of Jesus. Amen. I feel motivated today that whatever the canker worms have stolen, whatever the swarming locust, if the devil sends some swarming locust, tell him, okay, they ate them in 1980, but we are living in 2014. Kutokea 1980, I need recovery. I need recovery, Lord. Whether it is a business venture you're going to link me to, I need all the money that I could have earned. Give me and more. Do you think God is not able to give you that? Huh? Including the way we think, including so many things, all-rounded things in our lives. God will cause us to recover. Amen. Lift up your right hand to the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father God, when we have looked down on ourselves, you remind us through Gideon that, Father, you specialize in using people who are weak in their faith, who do not amount to anything. Father, all you are interested in is somebody who is really surrendered to them, to you, and you can display your power in them. If there be any among us that's here, Lord, who feels like that, and he feels like it doesn't amount to much, or things have happened, some bad things have happened in their lives, oh God, that they don't even qualify, I pray that you may change their mentality right today in the name of Jesus. Father, there are some among us that swarming locusts, chlorine locusts, even some locusts without names came into their lives and stolen some things into their lives and caused them to degenerate. Lord, when we call upon you, haven't you said in your word, like in the book of Joel, that you shall cause us to recover every year that has been stolen by the devil? I declare that every year that has been stolen by the enemy on behalf of these children, they shall recover. In the name of Jesus, I declare every ear that has been lost and eaten up by the enemy for them to recover. In the name of Jesus. Listen, church. I heard another preacher the other day. I was given that CD by my wife. And this preacher is from Uganda. I think he was in Fresh Aroma. This is what he said. When you pray in public, you don't pray for things. Declare them. Amen? And we are declaring that every ear that has been stolen by the devil, We declare recovery in the name of Jesus. Anything that is happening in their families that has taken them back, I recover whatever has been lost in the name of Jesus. I recover any financial loss that any single one of us has gone through, and I cause those recovery of those finances right now in the name of Jesus. Whatever area it is, Lord, that was stolen by the devil, we claim it back in the name of Jesus. We claim it back, and even more, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Father God, I pray that your people shall walk in prosperity. They shall walk in abundance in the name of Jesus. They shall pay their debts in the name of Jesus. They shall be able to live a life of pleasing you, a life of worshiping you. Nobody shall be inhibited to worship you because of the things that they are going through in their family. In the name of Jesus, restore marriages. Restore broken relationships. In the name of Jesus, restore children who have been lost, Lord, even to drunkenness, and they have been lost to promiscuity. We recover them back in the name of Jesus. Our families, oh Lord, that are in Kenya and Africa, wherever, in Zambia, wherever they are, our families that have been stolen by the devil, we declare them back in the name of Jesus. Our aunties and our brothers and our sisters who have been stolen by the devil, they have been taken back. We claim them back in the name of Jesus. Recover them. We recover them. We recover them. We recover them. We recover them right now. We recover them. We recover them. We recover them. We call them from where they are. We call them from where they are. We call them back. We call them back. We call them back in the name of Jesus. We call them back. Those that have been taken, degenerated, and taken back by diseases and sicknesses, we call them back in the name of Jesus. Bring them out of their sicknesses. Bring them out of their diseases in the name of Jesus. We claim those years back in the name of Jesus. Restore their health back, my God, in the name of Jesus, to the glory and honor of your name. Thank you, Father, because this church knows how to call upon you. And we know when we call upon you, things begin to happen.
We give you glory and honor. Father, I just want to pray for every family. I pray for every child, every woman, every man, that Father God, we shall love one another, that we shall be united, that you shall be our first focus in the name of Jesus. Lord, we shall not be swayed on the left, on the right, but our focus, oh Lord, shall be unto you in the name of Jesus. We refuse, Lord of glory, to be taken, to be hijacked by the devil. We refuse, my God, even for our ears to be stolen. We refuse, my God, even for things that pertain to us to be stolen and to be taken aback. We refuse, Lord, and we claim it back according to your word in Joel in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we recover. We recover everyone, every one of our jobs, things that cost us, Lord, even to stagnate and be in problems, in bad health. We recover in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. You might be here, never given your life to Jesus. This is an opportune time when you can surrender your life. Your life has been dissuaded and stolen by the devil. It is time to tell the devil, enough is enough. You cannot continue stealing my life. I want to come to God so that he can cause me to recover every single one of here that has been stolen by the devil. Is there anybody like that? He knocks at the doors of your heart and he says, if you can welcome me in, I can save you. Lift up your hand if there is anyone like that. Is there anyone? Hallelujah. Father God, even as this, your children go into the marketplaces, I declare your favor over their lives in the name of Jesus. Minister to them in a special way. Oh God, we give you glory. We give you honor. Blessed be unto your holy names. Father God, let us experience your goodness and mercy. And let us prosper in the things that we do. In Jesus' name, everybody say amen. Amen. Pastor Junius.